Exodus 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. For as is Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, made it into a molten calf. And he said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day, they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once, for the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, and that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I'll make of you a great nation." Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why doth thou anger burn against thy people, whom thou hast brought up from the land of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you did swear by yourself and did say to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which said he would do to his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a sound of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." And it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder, scattered it over the surface of the water, and made the sons of Israel drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, they are prone to evil." And they said to me, "Make a God for us who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off." So they gave it to me and threw it into the fire and came out this calf. Now Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. And Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend, every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son, against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." And it came about on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." And then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin. They have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin." Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. Amen. Okay. So you have to look at the circumstances by which this happens here. They are still at the foot of the mountain. The covering is on the mountain where the lattice, they can't see. The glory of God is still has descended on the mountain even still. That kind of tells you a little bit about the gravity of what these guys are doing here. I mean, it's not like like nothing's going on. It's as if, you take it in a modern day setting, it's as if they're in church. They're like in a worship service, and then they decide, you know what? Let's go make something. And the most commentators believe that these guys they were not violating the first commandment. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They're actually violating the second commandment. You should not make any idols. What the people were asking for, they were relating to God in that way. I mean, you could not get away from that. I mean, his glory is surrounding. But because Moses, he's only gone for about 30 days. And because Moses is gone for so long, they figured, there should be some kind of symbol, some kind of idol. I mean, that's basically what it is, that will lead us and help us through this season of our lives. And so it's not so much that they went to go worship another god per se. They wanted to worship God, but they enacted an idol instead. And interesting enough, this is the sneakiness of the devil. So Aaron says, okay, everyone, give me your gold earrings. Now, Israelites don't wear gold earrings. And so most likely you're dealing with foreigners that are really raising up this stink about, hey, we need to have some kind of symbol that we can follow and whatnot. And so they would be the only ones that are wearing these earrings. And so maybe Aaron was trying to buy some time. Who knows? So they throw these earrings together, and then what is it? They make a mold, and what does the mold end up being? It ends up being basically a calf. Actually, more akin to, it ends up being an ox. It is actually one of the gods, one of the idols they would worship in Egypt. His name was Apis. And Apis was an ox head. There was a white kind of marking on the forehead of this ox, and very, very prominent, especially in Memphis. And so it's amazing that these guys want to get an image of God, but instead they get an image of an idol, a deity that reigned in Egypt. You know, the enemy is very, very sneaky. In the sense, you're wrong, first of all, by creating an idol. And then you get into this place and you just put something together and out comes this Egyptian deity. You know, the enemy is always going to get his glory. He's going to use our mistakes. He's going to use our, our natural reasoning and whatnot. And so here's this calf that comes out, and then he says, tomorrow, there should be a feast to the Lord. And so you can get a picture that Aaron here, he's not totally gone off the reservation, right? I mean, there'll be a feast to Yahweh, and so to Jehovah, and this idea that this calf was going to be kind of an intermediary between themselves and to God, to Jehovah. And so in that same way that Moses was the intermediary between Jehovah and the people, but now Moses has been gone for so long, that they think he's dead. There's no sign of him, nothing's happening. And so they're thinking, okay, we need to have some kind of symbol, something that helps us to relate to God in some way. You can see the rationalizing that goes on with these people. And so they make this calf and they start worshiping the Lord. They eventually do some really horrible things with this thing. And then the Lord turns and says, Moses, you better go back down there. Your people, there's something really bad going on. And then Moses, the first thing he does, he starts interceding for the people. And this is a really interesting passage. You know, verse 14 says, the Lord changed his mind. Okay, listen. The Lord never changes his mind. The Bible tells us the Lord does not change. And so this is just a literary device. It's a narrative that's leading. But let me throw this at you in thinking about this, okay? This group of people, out of this whole group, only one of them really, a handful, we'll find later on, they actually get into the promised land. And so in a way, this whole generation of people, God deals with. And could it be, right now, this is man's work, partnership with God, whatnot, okay? I'm going to go off the reservation for a little bit, so we're just gonna talk, okay, together here a bit. These are my own thoughts. Could it be that Moses is interceding for these people? Maybe he shouldn't have. I'm just talking. Maybe he shouldn't have. Maybe God should have just struck him down right then and there. Maybe they would have spent 40 years less going into the promised land. But obviously, you know, they need to raise kids and all that kind of stuff. But that's precisely what happens. Punishment is rendered to this group of people. And let's go back to the foreigner, you know, theory. So here are these foreigners. They're inciting this. Surely the Jews, the Israelites, could have said no. I mean, this is not right in the sight of the Lord. And surely they could have made mention, but they kept silent. They didn't say anything. Even Aaron, in his own way, trying to appease the crowd, yet trying to also be true to God, and obviously he fails miserably in this whole thing. That's why, you know, never try to appease the crowd. That's just something that we should learn. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so be very careful about the company that you keep. Don't ever try to appease sinners. You know, it just doesn't work. Always stick to your guns. Always stick to your convictions. This is a truth that we could always keep in our hearts. And so this whole interaction is happening. And so the Lord changes his mind. Like I said, I don't think he changed his mind in so much that he's just giving them a reprieve for a period of time. But like he says at the end of here, in verse 34, it says, in the day when I punish, I'll punish them for their sin. And so the recompense is going to happen, but now it's just going to be delayed in this course. So they come down. So Moses and Joshua are coming down. They hear this noise of this huge party that's going on. And they finally get to this place, and as soon as Moses sees it, and here's the picture of Moses. Here's Moses before God, and he's pleading for mercy for the people. As soon as Moses sees what's happening, he's like, oh, crap. You know, he throws the tablets down. They shatter. I mean, can you imagine? Remember, this is written by the finger of God. He throws these things down. He's enraged by this whole situation. He turns to Aaron and says, what have you done? What is going on here? And Aaron, this is what we can say, poor leadership 101, okay? I mean, you're talking about, like, bad leadership. Here's the leader left in charge, and what's the first thing he does? Well, it's not my fault, you know? You know these guys are prone to evil. Like, Moses, it's almost like Moses' fault, the way he says it. Moses, you know that these are evil people. They're prone to evil. You should have known that before you left me in charge of this group of people. And so he totally does not take any responsibility for his actions. That is just poor, poor leadership. Well, it's really these guys. You know, it's not my fault. It's not, you know, I'm not responsible for this. It's these people are just evil. These people are messed up. Moses, you know about these people, so you can't blame me for what has happened here. And this is really, I mean, not just talking about spiritual leadership or biblical leadership, but even in the world around us, the next time you hear a politician, you know, who's caught in the very act, and then he starts rationalizing, you know that that person is a poor leader. You know, I mean, isn't that what happens in politics all the time? These guys get caught red-handed, and they squirm around trying to rationalize their behavior or blaming others. You know, or just lying, just straight up. You know, I always, you know, I'm going to make a totally political statement here right now. But I am just baffled by the leadership of Bill Clinton. You know, the Clinton Initiative, you know, I know all that kind of stuff. But man, when push comes to shove, this guy, and, you know, oh, it wasn't me. You know, I didn't do it. And then he totally tries to redefine what sex is all about. I mean, it's just horrible. I wouldn't trust this guy with two pennies. You know, and it's amazing. These are little pictures or glimpses into leadership in this regard. You know, and this guy's getting paid millions of dollars. It's just it's unfathomable to me how this works in any case. And so he says this, and then so he goes, the poor leadership 101, he points fingers, right? Poor leader points fingers at others. And then the second thing that they do is they rationalize their behavior. And so what does he say? He goes, well, you know, I told them, if you have any gold, tear it off. And so they gave it to me. Look at how ridiculous what he says in end of 24. I threw it into the fire, and then out came this calf. It's kind of like, I don't know what happened. Moses, like, we just kind of threw this gold into the fire, and it was crazy. And then next thing you know, this calf comes out. And so, yeah, so it was like we thought it was a work of God. So, you know, the chapter before, the verses before actually say that they actually made a mold and whatnot. But it's just this rationalizing of their bad behavior. You know, I mean, one, this is a good message when it comes to leadership, okay? Number two, look, if you get caught red-handed, I mean, like you do something stupid, just fess up to it. Just move into repentance. You know, I mean, it's the easiest way. Don't try to prolong. Don't try to rationalize. Now, I know that in our, you know, as Christians, we're probably not going to be in this kind of situation. But let me throw something your way. You know, when you're married, okay, you know, and you mess up a little bit. I'm not talking about you sin or something, but you get in trouble with your wife or vice versa. Don't try to rationalize your behavior. Just say, I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done what I did. Sorry that I, you know, didn't do what you asked me to do. Don't try to rationalize, I was so busy, I promised you this, but da-da-da. You know what I mean? So on and so forth. It happens all the time in marriage. And, you know, and all the married people in this room, I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so, you know, in that regard, when you're in that kind of situation, just repent. Just be humble. Aaron doesn't choose that path. He chooses to point fingers at other people. The next thing you know, he actually chooses to blame circumstances or just some random. I mean, it's just crazy how this works. And so Moses, right, his anger burns. And so he does something. He takes the calf, he grinds it to powder, and then he actually pours it over the surface of the waters, and he makes them drink it. That this was in a common idea because during the feast, and that's basically what's going on, there would be a lot of drinking that happens here. There would be a lot of partying and whatnot. And so Moses is kind of enacting a righteous judgment in this regard, that he actually makes them drink. The water becomes very bitter for them. Can you imagine, you know, gold or dust or metal that's now in the drinking system? And so as kind of a a reminder of that. And then he tells the people, he stands up and he says, hey, if you're for me, come here right now. So the sons of Levi come, and they end up killing about 3,000 people that day. And these 3,000 would have been the most obstinate. They would have been really the enemies of Israel during this time. And so, you know, we're talking about over a million people that are here now in this journey. And so 3,000 is a tiny number compared to the million that are there. And so, they weed through the camp, and they basically find most likely these insurrectionists and probably a bunch of these would be foreigners as well that really, I wouldn't say caused, but really became a catalyst for all these things that are going on. And so then the Lord and Moses goes and he says, he goes back to the Lord, they've done this horrible thing, Lord, forgive them. And look what he says there. Verse 30 at the end, he says, perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Right? Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Well, guess what? Moses can't. He can't. Right? These guys will be punished for their sin. But who can? Right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that makes atonement for our sins. And he says, Lord, will you forgive them their sin? If not, please blot me out from thy book which you have written. And the Lord says, whoever sinned against me, I'll blot him out of my book. But go now, lead the people where I told you. So he's relenting from this punishment, but actually the great punishment is going to happen in the next chapter, which deals with his presence. And he basically says, because, I mean, imagine this whole thing, that his glory has been leading them, the cloud, the fire, all these things. And now God basically says, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. You know, Jason Ma on Sunday, he said something really interesting, if you caught it. You know, and he said, is the presence of God enough for you? I don't know if he said it in both services, but I particularly remember in the afternoon service, is the presence of God enough for you? And in other words, is God, is he enough, you know, who God is in this regard? And so what's happening is God is really rendering the punishment in the sense that he's leaving them. His angels and his power will be there, but his presence is gone. Now, think about this in this context. What is hell going to be like? Who knows? I mean, fire, brimstone, heat, you know, a place where you can't, you know, you're always thirsting and whatnot. We don't know. I mean, there's little glimpses here and there, but one thing we do know for all certainty, hell is the place without the presence of God. Hell is the place of the absence of God. And so, in essence, he's giving them a little picture, a little taste of what hell is like in a very small sense, that he says he's going to leave them. And so that gets into tomorrow's devotion. So let's close our eyes right now. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. A couple of different matters this morning to pray through in our personal prayer time. You know, when we're messing up, are we trying to blame others for it? Are we rationalizing our behavior? Don't. Just repent. Go before the Lord. Let's ask for a humble heart this morning. Let's pray as we sing. Amen. Now let's pray for that humble heart. Let's pray that we wouldn't operate like Aaron and just always approach the Lord with humility, with contriteness. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning over our community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer. Let's ask God to touch and bring healing into their lives, no matter what they're going through. Pray for their families as well. That would be a strong support for one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray for those that are ill but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that the word of healing, the word of salvation would come to these people. Let's pray for our community that are going through illnesses of some type. Let's ask God's hand of healing upon them. Let's pray for our community, our friends that are looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Let's lift up our community and our friends ministering there. You know, for Chris and his community there, for South Korea for a future church plan, and Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia, who is in New Zealand right now going through mission training. Let's just cover these countries and ask for revival. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Let's pray for our frontline warriors, our prayer warriors. Let's pray for the leaders and volunteers that would just continue to grow in wisdom and in grace and really in anointing as well as they lead our church to heal and minister. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries, and let's ask God's hand to be upon them as they lead men and women to grow in the Lord. I know the men are planning a retreat in October, and so let's pray for God's grace upon them during that time and planning. Let's pray for tonight, for the Leadership Institute tonight. Matthew Pine will be teaching on eschatology. Let's ask the Lord to bless him and the group as they gather together and just be really filled with wisdom and understanding. Let's ask God's blessing tonight. Last, let's pray for SP Lights, their outreach tonight. Let's pray for our ladies to go with grace and with power and wisdom and anointing. Pray for divine contacts there and protection as they minister in this area. Lord, we just thank you for your word, God, and we also are prone to evil, Lord God. We are very easily swayed, Lord, by circumstances and people around us. Help us to be strong, God. Lord, help us regardless of situations that we're in, God, that we always look to you, Lord God, and we'll remain holy and blameless, Lord, just as you are. God, and then when we do mess up, God, when we do make mistakes, help us not to point fingers at others, God, or blame circumstances, Lord, but to really take ownership and say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we're sorry. Give us that kind of resolve, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this day, God, as we give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.